This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay, Place to Be Nation, we're back with the latest reaction show for WWE Payback. And on the line here, I have from Exile and Bad Street and Between the Sheets, Chris Zellner from the Titans of Wrestling, Johnny Sorrow. And I would say he was the better half of the Wrestling Culture podcast, but he's Canadian. So Dave Musgrave. So anyway, guys, they said this is a new era in WWE, right? They kept pounding it over the head, kind of reminded me of like the new generation. Like you know, Roman Reigns is cosplaying Diesel or something. But, you know, I just want to jump right into the matches. So I didn't see the first pre-show match. I didn't realize that they were starting so early with two pre-show matches. Did all of you see the Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin match?
Yes.
I saw most of it.
And Zellner?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll start with you, Chris. What'd you think of this one?
Well, I mean, you know, Baron Corbin, his thing at NXT was he was pretty much built up as a guy who didn't lose. And now he's in WWE, and a month in, he loses. On a pre-show by a roll-up by Dolph Ziggler.
Just another guy.
Well, no. That was his original NXT gimmick. As soon as he actually turned heel, he lost all the time in NXT.
Yeah, but still, they had him built up already, though, as an established
character. It was too early for him to lose like that.
Especially after he won that Battle Royal.
And losing to Dolph Ziggler and with a schoolboy. And of course, he'll get his win back. I mean, that's what's going to happen because that's the way it always is. But
I like Dolph, but he's going to be Zack Ryder at Opie by next week. So
it was stupid, and the match was okay. Baron's pants was interesting. It was this grayish kind of suede pants going on there. Interesting look, but yeah, Dolph is just. I mean, it had crowd heat, but Dolph is Dolph. He's just the guy, and with somebody who you just gave the Andre the Giant Battle Royal trophy to, which is now becoming like the kiss of death in some ways. I don't know, man. I mean, he'll get his win back, but that was pretty bad.
That didn't feel like a new era with that beginning, did it, Chris?
No, felt same old 50-50.
All right, Johnny, you're going to defend this.
Well, just that leading up to this for the last few weeks, he's beaten Dolph Ziggler and he's beaten him up tons of times, and Dolph got lucky on this one. And, you know, so it's I was kind of just like, I don't know about that choice, but for the people who are like, that's it, he's dead and buried. I'm like, no, it's just some of those weird things they do. Because on TV, they've just had him like murdering Dolph Ziggler for the last 2 weeks. So,
and you need to keep doing it. You gotta start making guys definitive. You know, if you start building guys up, you need to make them strong. And they have a bad habit lately of having to do 50-50 booking. And it hurts them for a while.
Lately, for the last 15 years.
If they're going to feud these guys more, Dolph has to get a win.
Don't want it more. I mean, he needs to move on to other people.
Yeah, they should go back, John. Instead of doing the three-month program, they should go back, okay, beat this jobber, okay, at the pay-per-view, done, move on. Go to the next.
Well, that's just it. It's something me and Pete were talking about. The fact that there's no more jobber matches is what skews everything in this way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right.
I still don't agree with the Dave? Decision. Yeah, I don't agree with the decision to job him at all. Like, if he's gonna lose when they've been trying to build him up, it should mean something, and it doesn't mean something in this context because Dolph was great. At one point, he's been destroyed by their booking, and they're just continuing the trend here.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm glad I didn't watch it. because I don't really care for either guy. And Baron really hasn't impressed me on the main roster yet. So I will say this.
This might have been one of his best showings.
Yeah. Oh, good for him. But I will say
he almost killed him. He almost killed Dolph with the power bomb into the post on the floor face first.
Yeah, there was that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll probably see him.
I hated Baron Corbin about a year and a half ago, and now I've turned around on the guy, so he's doing something.
Yeah. That just doesn't do anything for me. I don't have any emotional investment in the guy. But a match that did take me by surprise, Kalisto versus Ryback. Now, when I was at Mania this month, I was still standing in line. I was one of the many thousands who were still in line when the show started, and I missed this on the pre-show there. But by all accounts, it wasn't much of a match. Man, I thought this was a great little man versus big man match. Probably the match that the Mania match should have been. And I thought Ryback was fantastic in this, selling when he needed to sell. He did that kind of delayed selling where the first hit doesn't really phase him. The second hit stuns him. And then finally the big move puts him down. And I really appreciated that. And, you know, Kalisto did a bunch of flippy stuff. And I don't know, Meltzer said that, you know, there were a bunch of botched spots, but, or some botched spots. I don't remember seeing any botched spots. Maybe y'all can point them out to me. Johnny, what'd you think of this match?
Well, the only quote unquote botched spot I could think of was the move where Kalisto flipped to the outside, to land on Ryback. And, Ryback basically had to save his life and catch him with one arm. And because he, instead of landing on his body for them to fall back, you know, he was over here and Ryback just reached over and basically saved his life and then fell down. So that was kind of a botched spot. That's the only one I can think of. But otherwise, you're absolutely right. This was an amazing little guy, big guy match. Big guy, no pun intended. Ryback with the weight belt. Where on the back it says the pre-show stopper, which is just fucking tremendous. And that gorilla press slam from the top rope that he did on Kalisto had everyone in our living room jump out of their fucking seats like, holy fuck, that looked insane. And yeah, this was a ton better than the Mania match. And it's one of those things, I think, where Mania is such a huge, giant spectacle, and it's not always about match quality, and it's on the opening, and people are filing in because of the traffic problems. And now they had this show to
traffic,
do a really good
match. There were no
traffic
problems?
I mean, human traffic.
Oh, I was about to say, no, that was all logistic problems with the stadium. It had nothing to do with...
I meant human traffic.
It was just because they didn't have their shit together.
Yeah, that. Yeah, you told me. You guys were like, I can't believe we're stuck in this line. But this was a million times better than the Mania match. I like this a lot.
What about you, Big Dave?
I like the Mania match fine. But yeah, this was really fun. Ryback is basically would be in a position with this match to, you know, get deep push. But he was so good in it that you'd think they'd want to do something with him, although there's probably nothing left to do. I thought this was a match where I thought, you know, if you took this and put it in the middle of the 80s, like people would think it was like unbelievable. And it's just another match here. I mean, we're liking it now, but compared to, you know, it's not one that's going to stay with us. But Kalisto is really good. He's really fit into his role well. And Ryback's a great monster. So, yeah, great big man, little man match. And I loved some of the. There was that move that where. Kalisto, what did he do to him on the apron?
The DDT.
Yeah, the DDT, and apparently that's complicated for you to remember, but yeah, that was awesome, and these guys were great together. So,
Chris?
See, I thought at first that Ryback didn't catch Kalisto properly until I saw the replay, and basically saved his life on the dive to the floor, because Kalisto really could have hurt him so
yeah,
bad.
There would have been two. There would have been two injuries if he hadn't caught him.
Yeah, yeah, but these guys went out there and worked their ass off. And for people that have watched them work all the time, and Devin Hales, Dylan's brother, is somebody who watches all of the house show stuff on YouTube, and I mean he watches everything. And he always praises these guys' matches against each other. They have a great chemistry together, and even though they work, you know, short matches on television, work matches maybe on Main Event or SmackDown or whatever that people really don't talk about, they have always had at least a good match. And but this one was the crown jewel of their series. And yeah, Ryback went out there and he put it all on the line out there. And you could tell that he was motivated for this one in particular, because when he came out in his entrance, he mocked CM Punk's entrance. If you caught that, where he went down and put his, you know, did his fist on the ground and got back up and pointed to his he was doing a full Punk mock job.
Oh yeah,
there.
Oh yeah,
and which, you know, that was awesome. But yeah, I mean, the pre-show stopper, he proved it. And hey, I guess, you know, why not make the United States title like the pre-show main event match of these shows? If you're gonna do it like that, if you're not gonna push the title heavily, just make it like this and have, you know, really good like 6 to 8, 10 minute matches. You know, like this one was. So, props to these guys. And I was actually surprised that Kalisto won clean. I thought that Ryback may have went over here, considering. But, yeah.
I'll say this, Chris. What I like about that finish is Ryback had no business going to the top rope. And we've seen him lose going on the top rope before. But basically, by trying to one-up your opponent, by doing what your opponent does best, is what cost him the match. And that's why I kind of like that finish.
Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah,
and the most Magnum TA references on a pay-per-view that I...
Yeah, Mauro dropping the Magnum and Nikita feud. And well, they just came out with that on Blu-ray last week, the history of the U.S. title. So that may have played a role into that too when they were talking about history of the title.
Gotcha.
Have you seen it by any chance, Chris?
I haven't seen it, no, but like I said, just came out last week.
Well, let's move on to the show proper. Starts off, Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains. They're coming out, and, man, I was really excited, man. You know, I know the Vaudevillains haven't really gotten over since they've been there, but I still like Simon Gotch, man. I like the way he wrestles. I like the old school callbacks that he does. And I thought this was... I'm not going to say it was starting off as a great match, but it was so fun just to watch these teams do their thing, you know, like the Vaudevillains kind of getting beat up by Cass and Enzo, you know, doing it spots. And then it all went wrong. Who was it? Aiden English threw Enzo out of the ring, but on his way out of the ring, Enzo hits his... He hit the ropes with his arm.
Hit his head in the middle rope.
And then it bounced his head off the mat, and then he rolled out of the ring.
Yeah, and, it actually felt like watching a less, I don't know, it was shades of a Piero Aguayo Jr. to me.
And it kind of, I don't know what they were going for, but it kind of maybe looked like he was going to try to do a slide. Right. Under the ropes, and it just one of those freak deals that Aiden English does not deserve any blame or anything on this. It's just one of those freak deals that happens.
Now, have you heard anything? Do we have any updates on him or
concussion? Everything else was negative, and
okay, no neck snapped or no nothing like that.
Yeah, all the tests were negative. He just has a concussion.
So where do they go from here? I mean, do they just give the Vaudevillains the title shot, or
I'm guessing that they keep it going until he's able to come back and then do the match again.
Yeah, I would honestly. Since they did the tournament, I would just, because really, if you look at it from a logic standpoint, the guy couldn't continue. Once a team can't continue, they should be disqualified, and the Vaudevillains should get the shot. I mean, hell, they're supposed to be villains, and, you know.
May be a blessing in disguise. This may be a blessing in disguise for them, because I thought that this was way too early to go to a New Day versus Enzo and Kaz match.
Right.
So, unless Vaudevillains are going to win anyway, which we don't know.
They should have just gotten the DQ finish. But
I think they didn't want to. You're right, Will. They definitely should do that. They're villains on Raw tomorrow. Now that they know he's safe and he has a concussion. But if they had said, you know, well, let's do a thing where we're disqualifying them so we have a proper finish to this where this guy looks like he might have broken his fucking neck, there'd be a lot of criticism on them for doing that.
You know what, Johnny? I mean, I understand that, but I don't think there would be criticism if you were just consistent with your rules. You know what I mean?
I don't think they knew. They didn't know. They didn't really know what to do.
Right.
I mean, this doesn't happen much.
Right.
And it caught everybody off guard.
No.
You could tell from the announcing.
But would any of y'all be upset if tomorrow they, you know, vaudevillains come out and say, look.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, no, that's tomorrow. What they should do. Give them some heel heat, and, it, you know, he's okay, so it gives him a lot of sympathy when he comes
back. And then Shane or Steph. Yeah, that's their new name. We're just going to combine their names and call them Stane.
Is that like a
Stainer chef? Yeah.
Yeah, Stainer chef. So Stain's going to come out tomorrow and just basically say that, you know, since the Enzo and Cass can continue, that they award the match to vaudevillains. Give them some cheap, easy heel heat.
Yeah.
New Day will come out with the knights in shining armor, and then you go from there. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm just saying that makes sense for tomorrow. I think at the time.
Yeah,
tonight, making the call to, like, we need to ring the bell and have a proper.
Yeah, they need ending. To focus on getting him, making him okay more than anything.
Well, there was no real match, so I mean, we can move on to the next.
Oh,
match.
One thing I do want to mention though about this that I thought was interesting was the way they started the show. You know, normally all these pay per views always start with, you know, with the regular opening, but the fact that they had New Day coming out there cold and doing a cold open. I thought that was a nice little new touch, and
yeah, that was
maybe
cool.
I should do that more often. You know, maybe even start with a match first and then go with the proper opening. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, they need to do a lot of things differently, Chris, to freshen this product.
And the crowd was red hot for New Day and red hot for Enzo and Cass. Yeah. And yeah, it just totally sucked that.
Yeah. And as far as the vaudevillains not being over yet, they've only been there for 3 weeks. Not everyone's going to be getting over instantly like Enzo and Cass did, which is amazing.
Vaudevillains did better in that segment they had on Raw Monday.
Yeah, that was good.
That was their most effective thing they've done so far. So they have upward momentum. We'll just see how that goes. But yeah, their gimmick though is kind of one of those gimmicks where it's gonna be tough.
Well, in a way, it feels kind of like Adam Rose or Emma, where the gimmick works in a place like NXT in a small setting, but in the big picture, it doesn't. You know, they're just going to have more depth that they're going to survive.
Which they already did on Raw. They added them a little bit of depth on Raw. But I was going to mention, this is always one of those weird things when you have a bunch of, like, weird, silly shit surrounding a potentially serious situation. So you got this guy down there, and you're like, did he break his fucking neck? And over in the corner are three guys wearing unicorn things on their heads and eating pizza and looking like, oh, fuck. It was just like... It's so weird.
We got to keep it together on camera.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I want to say with it, too, is, I mean, no one deserves any blame for it happening, but where Simon Gotch then tried to pick him up and stuff like that, they really need to do some kind of, like, first aid type. Not first aid for him to start doing first aid on him, but don't pick the guy up if you're, you know.
Wasn't it Aiden?
Gotch was on the outside, and he went to go pick him up. Which then for a split second, I'm like, oh, he's okay. And the ref's like, no, get the fuck away.
Get out of here, dude.
You're right. Yeah. But I know.
It was mass confusion.
Yeah, no, they just got to prep guys for that because you don't want to have a bad situation.
Well, that's what happens when you make throwing up the X into a gimmick.
Yes, you don't know
whether it's real or not.
And there were a lot of fans that believed it was a work.
Well, I mean, but when you don't respect, like, one of those things that should be kind of sacred, you know? It should.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's going to happen. But let's move on to an actual match between a couple of Canadians. So, you know, I'm going to start with Musgrave. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. Now, I know you're Canadian, and I know your bias is going to get in the way. Meltzer called this an excellent match. I thought it was a good match. I didn't think it was a classic. The fans were chanting, this is awesome. I thought it was just kind of a Kevin Owens match where they trade a bunch of bombs. I mean, within like the 4 minute mark, they were already doing like 2.9 kickouts, you know, and it just, we're going to talk about some later matches where I thought that they built the match better. It's almost like, and I'm not trying to play your buddy Dave, your buddy Dylan here on the line, But it's almost like the fans are conditioning themselves, well, this is supposed to be awesome, so we're going to call it awesome instead of letting it happen organically. And I didn't really think the match was awesome. I thought it was kind of a big move, trade big moves type match where, you know, we've kind of seen this from Kevin Owens. There's never really any diversity in his matches. And it kind of bugged me, you know. I'm not saying the match was bad. I need it. I just wasn't thinking, wow, I just saw a great match, a match of the year contender, or a match I'm going to even talk about 2 months from now. What did you think, Dave?
I didn't think I saw a match of the year contender, but I did think I saw a great match. I really like.
But you're actually
going
to remember this match like 2 months from now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, especially where it's like, I mean, I've been watching these guys for years, and if you're someone who's been into their career for years, I think it matters. And I thought they did a good job with it. You know, I didn't know how it was going to finish, and I felt invested in how it was going to finish as well. I really liked the power bomb, the DDT where he went through the ropes like he usually does. I did think they were stretching out the count out there a little bit much, although I don't know if that counts as returning to the ring or not. But yeah, I like the match. I mean, I know there's some complaints about Kevin Owens these days, but I mean, I'm enjoying everything he does, and that included this. So,
Chris.
I thought it was a hell of a damn match, especially considering what happened, you know, what it was following.
Yeah.
You know,
these
two had to go out and get the crowd back into it because the crowd was just completely taken out. And, you know, I understand the criticisms of doing those near falls that early, but they had to do something. So this one, in this case, I'll give that a pass. I mean, they had to go out there and just tear it up. They couldn't go out there.
But my criticism isn't so much that they had to do something hot, is that that's how every Kevin Owens match goes. Unless he's
yeah, but this had way more heat.
And he to be fair, he was not doing Chinlock City tonight.
And this had way more heat because there's a story here. They've done a really good job of building the story up with those great videos they've done.
It felt like a grudge match.
Yeah, you know that these two really have issues. I mean, there's a real issue here between these two that goes back years, and they have everything to prove it. And, yeah, I mean, I thought both men were really great here in doing what they did. I mean, Sami Zayn was showing a lot of fire, and, you know, he yelled out Buck, you know, real loud when he didn't get a pinfall that one time and got bleeped out. The counters was good. They were taking some hard bumps. Sammy's when he did his tope through the ring post, he came very close to just completely taking his shoulder out. I mean, that was dangerous looking. And I thought the finish was really well done as well. So yeah, I really dug this a lot. And it the most important thing about this, though, to me, is it built for more, because Owens, you know, did that stuff after the match, and then, you know, went to the next match and was commentating, and then Zayn come out there. So this is advancing to a more broader story. And the layers that was involved here, I thought was well done going into the next match, how it weaves seamlessly in and what's building for next month. So yeah, I really dug this a lot.
And Johnny, I know you liked it. Did you?
Yeah, speaking of people with issues,
are you going to remember this a few months from now?
Dude, I'm not even going to remember what I had for dinner tomorrow. But
exactly.
Yeah, so, but that's just me. I love this. And Chris and Dave nailed all the points I had as well, why I loved it. But I also have, like Dave, you mentioned about following their careers. I still have that feeling of I saw these guys as two fucking skinny kids in a Jersey All-Pro ring in Rahway, New Jersey in 2005. And now to see this, you know, and having followed them and all that, and just like, it kind of gives you that weird fan pride of the guys you saw when they were just nothing. And so I felt the hate. That's a major thing for me. I need to feel the hate. And they brought it, you know, grudge match feel. And
I will say this, and this will be my positive note, is because of their history, WWE's video package really played it up. It did feel like a match that mattered, even though I wasn't really like super impressed with the wrestling aspect of it.
Well, I dug it, so.
All right, I just didn't think it was worth a "This is awesome" chant. You know, that's all.
I think you're right that the fans kind of do that a little too automatically.
Well, JBL lost his shit at the end of it.
I've seen a whole lot worse matches get "This is awesome" chants.
Oh yeah,
"This is awesome" has now been co-opted. They chant that sometimes when guys are having face-offs.
Yeah, but sometimes those face-offs are awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like when the Shield and the Wyatts faced off, and they started chanting "This is awesome." That was awesome. That was like a tingling moment.
But I've seen face-offs since that get a "This is awesome" before they've even locked up. It's been co-opted.
Yeah, they're just waiting to say it.
Right. All right, well, let's move into a match that I did think was actually pretty awesome, man. It kind of makes me bitter because Cesaro was not featured at WrestleMania, and he was ready to go. Like, man, I could have seen Cesaro wrestle in a big stage. Cesaro versus The Miz. I have no love for The Miz. To this day, even after this match, the best Miz match is still that Jerry Lawler title defense when Miz had the belt, but whatever. Cesaro versus The Miz. I really love the way that Cesaro's arm was bandaged up, and Miz, like a trooper, kept attacking that arm. And I like the way that they kept finding new ways to attack the arm. And Cesaro still looks great in the ring. I understand he's Intercontinental title level. He should be right up there in the main event level, fighting with all those big dogs. I liked the match a lot. I liked the way the match ended with the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens stuff. But I just feel Cesaro is above that. And it just bothers me. But that's minor quibbles. And the roll-up finish. I even didn't have a problem with that because I really liked the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens interference. It felt fresh. It felt out of nowhere. I had no idea Sami Zayn was going to come out and attack Kevin Owens, who was doing commentary for the match. And The Miz picked his spot, you know, but whatever. Chris, your thoughts on this match?
I thought this was a blast. Cesaro and Miz have a good chemistry going together, too, actually, in some of their matches. And Miz as a character has been really strong in recent times anyway. And then Maryse, you add Maryse into it. And it takes to a next level. She's awesome at what she does. Just her presence and everything at ringside. I love Cesaro's entrance. The whole James Bond motif that he has going right now is fantastic. Owens was phenomenal.
I like his tights, too. Commenting. I like Cesaro's gold, black, and white tights. You know,
Yeah, looks cool. Owens was phenomenal at ringside. First off, you know, with the hat, with JBL's hat on. They're just constantly just trying to bury Cole and Byron and cheering on Mike to win, not The Miz, Mike, because he knows him personally. And then the Sami Zayn stuff, it gave that chaotic nature to the finish that you don't see a whole lot of in WWE. And it was definitely fresh. And it's built into a four-way match, of course. Probably it's Extreme Rules. Probably I wouldn't be shocked if it was some type of ladder match or it could be some type of stipulation, but yeah, I can understand where you can be upset that Cesaro didn't win this, but I think in the end he probably will.
Oh, so, hold on. I'm not upset that he didn't win. I think it's – I think
mean you in particular.
Beneath his station is what I'm saying.
No, I don't think – I didn't mean you in particular. I just meant you as a general, you know, as a general term. I guess – I mean, because people were. I mean, there were people upset that Cesaro didn't win, so I can understand that, but – it's leading to a bigger story. And yeah, I can't wait for the next match. So, I fully enjoyed it.
What about you, Johnny?
Oh yeah, I'm with Chris. I love this a lot. And when it first started, you know, I was like, they had to follow that, you know, Owens and Zayn, which, you know, a lot of us thought was awesome. And, yeah, at first started a little slow, but about a third into it, it just kicked into high gear for me. And you're right, man. Maryse just adds so much. She's like Marlena Dietrich on the outside, just fucking and adding to everything, just with her presence there as this power couple. And I dig Miz. And you're right, Will. Yes, his best match ever was with Lawler, but come on. You know.
Oh no, his two second best matches were with Cesaro. This
yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. And I still love Cesaro's strength spots. The crowd's super behind him. The chaos was amazing. And what I'm digging about this is when Owens at first was like, let's get back to what's important, the Intercontinental title. And now you have this Intercontinental division of these guys, which back in the day, we always used to say the IC title is quote unquote the work rate title. And here you got Owens, Sammy, Cesaro. I include Miz in that.
Oh, okay, you have a really short memory because last year it was supposed to be the Daniel Bryan.
Well, yes, that was his idea. That was that he wanted to make that the SmackDown exclusive title. Yeah, totally. But I'm saying, boom, now the Intercontinental title is important because all these guys want it. And I like that. And I really enjoyed this match a lot. Cesaro, when he hit that fucking swing, finally, that crowd just erupted. And of course, the James Bond entrance is number one and the best. Love it.
And Musgrave.
Yeah, I thought this was great. Cesaro, you know, I've definitely been over Miz, but I actually felt from the moment they came out here, him and Maurice, that they seem to be gelling as an act. I mean, obviously, they gel together pretty well anyway.
See, I want to see them as an act. I don't want to see Miz in the ring. That's just my own.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Cesaro's a great wrestler. He's going to carry Miz to a good match.
I want to
see other wrestlers aren't going to be so lucky.
I want to see Cesaro doing more for sure. But I thought that they had a good match here, and I thought it was a great, basically a continuous segment from the match before as well. Kevin Owens was fantastic on commentary. I was like, some people might not like this, but I thought he was great, and apparently Chris did as well. So. And yeah, the Sami Zayn attack on him was fantastic. So, I'm fine with the finish. I'm forward to the four way. Well, I can't say next month. It's in 3 weeks. So.
Yeah, it's this month. Yeah, I forgot.
About that. So this is a real short pay per view month, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have they have one in April, but it's the beginning of April. So this was a full month between shows. So yeah.
No, and by the way, the people complaining about the quote unquote bullying of Byron Saxton, shut the fuck up. Byron stinks. He deserves to be bullied.
All right. Whatever. Let's move on. Next match, Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho. Now, Johnny, we're going to start with you. You're a guy who's kind of defended Chris Jericho's latest run. I know.
Oh, defended. I praise it.
You praise it. Sure. And, you know, he's been catching a lot of shit online for being washed up. Whatever. So, I don't know. Another match Meltzer thought was excellent. So, what say you?
Not as good as the previous two. I'm not going to say that. And this time I love Dean Ambrose. I'm a big Dean Ambrose fan. I'm blaming a little of this on Ambrose for being a little sloppy. And I like that. It's part of his character and his style. But it said points during this match a little too light, a little too loose, you know, non-hurdy. But all in all, I was enjoying the match because I like the story, and I'm loving Jericho's current persona, which is fuck you, internet. Oh, you hate me for being a rock star, you know, in my scarves and stuff like that. People have on the internet, dudes are like genuinely hating him in real life, even though they never met him. And he's playing the character they've created for him. And I think that's genius. And so I'm loving that. And he, one of the criticisms on him, which I agreed with, was trying to do stuff that he can't do anymore. And he should like heal it up. Matt D once said, you know, be more rude. He did the crawling over to the referee, holding onto the referee. He's killing me, ref. You know, and shit like that. We're like, yes, do more of that with this character. And I think the reinvention of Chris Jericho, internet troll, is mwah, love it. And the match, I thought the match was fine. but it wasn't as good as the first two.
Now, Musgrave, here's another Canadian, Jericho. So are you in the Johnny camp of loving his current internet troll role?
I'm kind of right up the middle. Like, in terms of my biggest thing is that, you know, he's hit and miss in terms of enjoying him in ring.
Well, like him being Canadian prevents you from actually, like, hating him, right?
No, I wouldn't say that at all, actually. There's plenty of Canadians I'm not a big fan of. So.
What?
Yeah, no, hard to believe. I mean, I'm still polite to them. But, you know.
Of course.
Of course, yeah.
Sharing your ketchup-flavored potato chips or whatever the fuck y'all
that's
eat.
Exactly it. This match didn't do a lot for me. I kind of really lost a lot of attention with it. And yeah, I guess it's, you know, I lost enough attention that it's hard for me to even comment on it. I think they need to freshen up Ambrose a bit. Like, I don't think his current face stuff is working that great. It could have if they had done more with him at Mania, but right now he seems to be on a downturn. So.
He's just another guy, man. He's not special.
He's one of the most over guys on the roster. Are you kidding?
He's too goddamn goofy.
Goofy. He's one of the most over guys on a roster to a bunch of wrestlers playing to apathetic crowds. I mean, it's not like he's like...
No, the apathetic crowds, the one guy who always gets cheers in the apathetic crowds is Ambrose.
I think that was more last year than this year, man.
I'm sorry.
I was there for 100,000 people sitting on their hands during an Ambrose.
He gets a pop during his intro. That's it. There's rarely no heat in his
intro. I'm watching the shows every week. He's one of the most over guys, so...
Yeah, no, okay.
That's damning with faith. Yeah,
that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying, Chris. That's like saying that was.
You're the tallest mini.
Yeah, you're the tallest mini. You know,
but this match sucked. I mean, Jericho is.
Hey, hold on, Chris. Gimmick is Meltzer great. Said I love it was excellent.
Well, there's a lot of bullshit.
But what happened in the match that sucked? Like.
It just was too damn long, and oh god, it was just the work was boring. I said on Twitter, I said that Jericho reminded me of 92 Greg Valentine, but then I thought about it, and I was like, no, he's 2000 Shane Douglas in the way he was working matches, and Ambrose isn't that great either in this whole deal. His striking was horrible in this match, and there's some stuff that just was off. I guess way too damn long. It just stunk. It just was not good at all. And then Cole said, this is an incredible match. Incredible my ass. It sucked dick. One thing, at least Ambrose won clean. So at least it was a clean finish. But yeah, I mean, it was so predictable who was going to like this match, you know, among the newsletter guys and who wasn't. I mean, I could have predicted you could predict what people are going to say. And Meltzer and Bryan and guys like that who are in the tank for Jericho, they love this match.
Well, yeah. I rarely get agreeing with those two, and I loved it. So.
You might not agree with their opinions, but typically your wrestling views do kind of align with them, like review-wise.
You know, if you're telling me that me and Alvarez like the same things.
Same aesthetic in terms
of... I will bite you.
The deal with Ambrose is they what are they going to do with him now? I mean, this feud does not need to continue. That should be a definitive win. So where do you go with him now, and how do you freshen his character? Because it needs it. It needs something to give him an edge. He needs an edge. Because he was really hurting that whole Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and you remember when he was part of the Shield, he did have an edge, man. Like, he did feel like the wild one of the bunch. And now he feels like, you're right, Chris, like a cartoon character.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. Musgrave. You'll have to wait your turn on this one. But okay. Oh, no, actually, Chris, I mean, did I start with you? It doesn't matter. We're going to start with Chris anyway.
Please. I think it's your turn.
Yeah. What the fuck, dude? It really is Montreal still a thing, dude?
Yeah, obviously it is. This whole thing started.
Sorry, the match is Charlotte versus Natalya with Ric Flair and Bret Hart in the corners.
Yes, okay. The whole thing started off bad because they happened to just show Sasha Banks, you know, in a pre-tape talking to Shane McMahon to the live crowd, letting them know that she's in the building. So you knew exactly what was going to happen, and it did. We want Sasha. We want Sasha very loud, and it took away from the heat of the match for a while. The match itself, very clunky. A lot of sloppiness, a lot of, I wouldn't say miscommunication, but it just seemed like they were on the same page.
We've seen them have good matches. I think Natalya is one of the most consistent women performers, where she's typically not going to make too many mistakes in there.
Yes, and it just this match was just weird. And Charlotte, I don't know what was going on with her in this match. She's regressed a lot recently. This was not good. It started to try to pick up there late. Natty was trying to get it back going, but then they had to do that goddamn finish with Charles Robinson, of course, little Nate, and do Montreal all over again because Brett was at ringside. And oh God, that's 19 years ago almost, you know, that this happened, and they can't let it die.
But it's a new
era. Of course,
the
fans got the cheer at the end because Brett and Nanny got to put the sharpshooters on the flares, but Jesus Christ! And suppose they're going to bring this match back again. I don't know if I want to see these two again. We didn't see them enough.
And if you do, I want to see them without a belt because I want Sasha to run with the title. And they're holding it off till SummerSlam supposedly now, which is fucking stupid. Like, just give her the belt. I mean, that's the biggest hang up I have with this company in general is just run with the guys. I mean, okay, you're running with Roman Reigns after you basically destroyed this guy as somebody that the fans could be invested in. And now he's, you know, kind of like a B-level John Cena reaction type character.
Well, you know the story with Sasha is right.
No, what?
Okay. They are kind of trepidatious with her right now because she has been getting hurt way too much. And they really want her to be the focal point of the division in the future. So that they're basically keeping her off television and trying to keep her out of, you know, wrestling a lot where she won't get hurt.
Oh,
I mean, because she works such a high impact style that she's not toning down. Like at WrestleMania, she hurt herself at Mania and had to go to the hospital. So she's danger to herself, but I'm with you. I mean, she's the one that has to be the person to be the in the forefront here. And what sucked about this match was we got this instead of getting Becky Lynch and Emma, which probably would have been a whole lot better match than this was if they would have had that match.
Yeah, I just think that the booking still to this day just leaves something to be desired.
They can't let Montreal die. And I know Dave, they had this hard on for Canada. So it sucks for y'all.
I think I know why they did it though.
Because they're stupid, but go.
No, hold on. No.
Because Brett was there. That's the only reason.
I think there's a little bit more. I'm going to go into Dylan Hill's conspiracy theory mode here. Brett was booked to be on this show and everything, and on his podcast the last months, he's done nothing but just like, really hardcore shit on everything WWE, just publicly and loudly. So I could see them going, oh yeah. Well, we've already promised that he's going to be there. Here's what we're going to do. You know, we're gonna do fucking Montreal on you. How you like that, loudmouth? You know.
But then he still got to get the heat back at the end.
Right. No.
So
how
did he come?
I'm not
come
defending
out?
It. I'm well, yeah, he got that, but still, that's why, because you want to make the crowd cheer that he gets so he gets that at the end. But I will appreciate the little niche thing because I'm like, oh, well, that's a bit of continuity from WCW. No one knows except a handful of people. But And maybe that's why, like you said, Will, these girls have had some recent really good matches on TV. And this wasn't one of them. And maybe this whole, like, well, we're going to work in this ridiculous finish and now work around that. And maybe that's why they were both off their game. Who knows? That's my conspiracy theory as to why, out of nowhere, I laughed out loud when it happened. I just laughed. I'm like, wow, that happened? Holy shit.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
So Dave, are you ever going to see a day, someone who lives in Toronto, are you ever going to see a day where Canadians can be proud to be wrestling fans again and watch WWE?
I'll take the, like, Shawn Michaels type approach where he said this kind of thing to Eric Bischoff. This didn't embarrass me as a Canadian. This embarrassed me as a wrestling fan. Like, this is just, it's just, get over it, guys. Like, who cares?
Exactly.
This is, yeah, and it probably offended. Well, yeah, I didn't even think of the Canadian thing. I just thought of.
Dude, you're on my show. You know I'm never going to let the Canadian thing go.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know you're obsessed with it, but.
No, I just find Canadians fascinating.
Yeah, we are an interesting bunch.
It's the imaginary Texas Canada feud,
right? Yeah. Yes. Well, it's not even that, because I mean, clearly Texas, I think, even has a higher gross domestic product than the entire country of Canada. So.
Well, no, it is.
Yeah, it's just gun sales. It's not
like a real feud going on.
That's just gun sales. Will
be like, no, yeah, exactly. We got
that. You know, it's based on what family had the most fucked up dad. Stu Hart or Fritz Von Erich?
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. But they have a good thing going in the women's division. People are into it, and then they just screw it up with something like this. Like, is it going to do lasting damage? No, but it certainly did nothing to benefit anything other than maybe amuse Vince McMahon. And it's just on a show where. On a show where they're really pushing that this is a new era, this is like the most played out thing that they could have possibly done.
And what's your money called? The Dooney or the Dooney or the Toonie?
The Looney. The Looney. It has our $1 coin has the bird, the Looney, on it.
Does it have like that crack smoking mayor on it too? Didn't he just die?
He just died, yeah. And
he died?
Smoking mayor.
Yeah, he died. Yeah. He came down with cancer while he was still in office, actually, and that's why he bowed out of the race for re-election, and his brother took a spot. But yeah, no, I mean, I still couldn't say anything good about that guy, even at death.
Was it Rob Ford? Rob Ford was his name.
Yeah, yeah. And like, my problem is with him.
I heard the reason people loved him was because he was a guy who would actually like answer. Like phone calls and like personally talk to the people instead of like, oh, talk to my secretary type guy. Like I heard that was kind of
like some people, he ran on the idea of like, the gravy train stops here, but he was a very conservative mayor. So he's not going to get any points with me. And he was doing a lot of irresponsible things like, besides the crack,
using taxpayer money to fund his habit.
No, to fund his high school football coaching.
Oh, awesome.
You see, the crack's okay.
In Toronto. Where
that's Texas right there, buddy. Yeah. That's Texas right there. Ralph Ward, I have to put on Texas as a religion.
He seemed like a stereotypical U.S. congressman that you'd see in a movie.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. We're completely off this show, man.
We loved him because as Americans – we just love that guy.
Well, dude, our only crack smoking mayor was Marion Barry.
Yeah, I know, and he was totally boring.
Yeah.
You know?
And you guys are all trumped up these days. So.
Oh, not, don't say y'all. I can't.
No, y'all.
Anyway, let's move on. So the next event of the night, so to speak, was the Mr. McMahon announcement about Stephanie and Shane. And, okay, first of all, Shane shouldn't even be on the damn TV. But the fact that he is, it's still, Johnny, even you can't twist your Johnny logic around this. It's fucking stupid.
Oh, I can't?
Yeah. So, like, that he's been on TV for the last month?
Yeah.
Okay, do it.
Well, I don't really need to. It's what they've. It's weak, but it's what they've explained on Raw. They explained it a little bit here. The first time was Vince going.
I remember that.
Stage me.
I remember
and
that.
Fine, it'll be. And it was post Mania. It'll be a disaster. The post Mania crowd stinks anyway. Have at it. And just good. Their plan. Pete told me this. I thought this was amazing. Was they really thought there was going to be a big ratings boost on the post Mania Raw, so they could say the ratings showed that Shane made a difference, and that didn't happen. So they had to go. Social media is saying Shane made a difference, and that's why they kept it going. Oh, he's. Well, social media is really praising him. And that's what they did with this promo, too, by the way. With some of these websites, I'm like, really? I never heard of half these websites.
what I liked is that they showed the Bleacher Reports. That he's a great on-screen boss. And it's like they basically owed it on the show that, oh, he's only a fake boss on screen.
Yeah.
Well, that gave credit to the Daily
DDT. The Daily DDT.
Oh, my God.
Stephanie said, what is
what the
that?
Fuck is a Daily DDT?
they may as well credited Pro Wrestling Insider or the Wrestling Torch.
Dude, I would have lost my shit. They would have talked about all the sheeties they won.
Yeah, yeah. Or like when Flair would come out, they go, he recently won the GWE and PWO.
That would have been awesome.
Real time deal here. Just came through on Twitter. Kevin Owens just posted a picture from the hospital. He's got a big smile on his face. And in the background, there's Enzo standing in a blue hospital attire with his hands up. And Big Cass is wearing a nice suit with his hands out, looking at him like, what the fuck did you do? So they're goofing around the hospital. Good. So that's good. Good. Real good.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, good for them. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So I still think it's complete bullshit that nothing for Mania mattered. None of the stipulations matter. The ratings went down when one of the things Shane McMahon said when he first got here is you've tanked ratings, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know who's also tanking ratings? Shane McMahon.
Yeah. This is all one continuous line of nonsense going back to the higher power in 1999. They've been basically been playing the exact same storyline since then, and who cares?
But
Johnny Sorrow cares because he's invested in it.
I am. I like this shit.
No, the funniest thing about this whole thing is what's not being talked about is Shane is getting all the credit for all the stuff that Triple H, you know, has done with all these NXT guys. Shane's getting the public credit for it. That's the hilarious part.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people are having a hard time separating reality from what's on TV. Like, the people are like, Shane McMahon really is making a difference.
Like Triple H.
He's an actor. He's an actor playing a part. He's not really changing anything. He's an actor playing a part. And at the end,
that's the best part.
And
about
at the end
it.
Of the day, the person who still makes decisions is Vince, which he subtly did when Shane was doing his whole put the hand over Stephanie and boo, put the hand over me chair, and Vince goes puts the hand over himself because at the end of the day, he's still the guy making the final decisions.
And you know, this whole segment, yeah, it was long and whatever it was. And it was obvious what was going to happen because they weren't going to give everything back to Stephanie because they're promising this was the first of a new era. It wasn't going to be the first and the last. So you knew there was going to be something of a screwiness. Although I will say, I did not like that it became a full equal deal. I was kind of hoping that Vince would, you know, give Shane Raw and then tell Stephanie that she has SmackDown. And they do that again. You know,
that might still come.
Where they,
yeah, well,
it may still come, but that's what I was hoping they would.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know about both of them on Raw together. That's kind of it's all going to be about the McMahons, and which is always going to be anyway. And yeah, it was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, well, being about the McMahons is what USA demands a lot. I agree about the SmackDown thing, but. During this, I was enjoying it, but I was also going, couldn't they have done this on Raw? And then the main event happened. I went, oh, okay. I get
I'll say this about Stephanie. She's so good. And she was so good in this segment.
Yeah.
At mastering what she did and, you know, getting on the fans and her comebacks. And yeah, she's miles. I mean, not just miles. She's eons ahead of Shane as a character, which is actually fine because it gives that yin and yang. So
she should be, though. Because she's only had fucking 15 years of practice.
And she's the heel.
Yeah, well.
So,
and you know, even with the practice, you're either a decent actor or not. And, you know, Shane's never really has been. But the CM Punk chance, which you knew was going to happen. I love the way Vince now deactivates chance, is that he, like, starts encouraging them. And then they die, and he goes, well, is that all you got? And they start again, and then they die, and then he just goes on.
Yeah, they've done better with that.
Like, no, that's just, I give him that's his thing. Okay, fine, go ahead. And then they just peter out, and he goes, huh, would have thought you all had more than that.
Well, I mean, and that's great if you're Vince, but everyone talks, Vince is such a great character. But it's like, Vince can break the rules, and fine, it's his company.
Yeah.
His kids can break the rules. But yet, the things that would get the talent over in a meaningful way, they have to subscribe to some stupid, idiotic theory of 50-50 booking and read these scripts line for line. We can deviate from scripts when things aren't going our way, but you can't because you're not special.
Well, and apparently,
welcome to the world of business.
Hold on. What made Vince a billionaire in the first place was that reckless nature. It wasn't the Russo bullshit. It wasn't the fucking tits and ass. It was that reckless nature of never knowing what you were going to get.
Yes.
But that was before he was corporate.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
As far as like publicly owned. Publicly owned wrestling is not going to be.
It doesn't matter, Chris. The point is, it doesn't matter because you don't have to flip the bird. You don't have to cuss. You don't have to drink beer and call women bitches and all this other shit.
Sammy flipped the bird on Raw this Monday.
But you get my point, though, is that they could just let these guys be themselves. No one's asking them to go back to the Attitude Era. All we're saying is let guys be themselves and get over on their own merits versus something.
It was mentioned tonight. That's openly talking about how much
I love the Attitude Era. Yeah.
And the crowd's like, oh.
But some guys can. Jericho does not follow any script right now. He does his own thing. And he does the same thing with the crowds. He shuts down chance like a motherfucker. It's fucking great. I think it's one of those things like, here, we're giving you scripts. And I think some guys, you know how Vince is.
Owens doesn't have any.
Owens doesn't know. Exactly. Like, I think Vince, it is one of his weird things maybe is if you're getting over and you show the balls to break the script and do it your own way, he kind of respects you a little bit. One of those weird Vince-isms. That you never know where it's going to go, whether he likes you for it or he like hates you for it.
All right, whatever. Anyone else got anything to say about this segment before we move on?
It was too damn long, and Triple H was smart not to come out there in front of the crowd. Smart man he is.
He needs to stay away.
I thought it set things up well for later.
Oh, I don't think you're going to see Triple H on TV. For some time now.
Yeah, they need to keep him away until the build for SummerSlam.
Yeah, God, I hope not. I hope. I know. I was thinking about going to SummerSlam this year. Eh, I don't think I want to see Triple H versus Shane McMahon. Where is it?
Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn. Whoop-de-doo. All right, moving on. Finally, the main event.
You hate Brooklyn?
No, I'm just saying, like, whoop-de-doo, Triple H versus Shane McMahon. Who gives a fuck? I already saw a horrible Triple H match this year live. I don't need to see
it. Is that definite?
That's the plans, right, Chris?
That's what's being talked about, yes.
Mm.
So anyway. So yeah, if it does not become definite because Shane gets a hernia or something and Triple H twists his ankle or something, yeah, I might go. Anyway, moving on, main event time. Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles. And we'll just start off here with you, Dave. What did you think of the main event and all the wackiness involved?
I thought the wackiness built well with it, and this is actually my match of the year right now.
Oh, you got to be fucking nuts.
No,
this is not a match of the year contender or match of the year. It wasn't even the best match of the night, man. A match of the year contender? Come on.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I thought they were great together, and, you know, the wackiness might have taken away from it a bit, but I actually thought it built well for next month or 3 weeks from now, and I thought AJ gave it everything he had in this. I thought Roman came off as credible. They really matched up well together, and I thought the outside interference worked well too.
Dude, I saw 5 matches at WrestleMania weekend alone that were better than this match. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't work well together. I like what they did together, but the stop-start stuff from 1998, you know, with their fully loaded tribute. Yeah, I see how it can please some people. I don't think that there was anything in this match that screamed match of the year. I can't recall one spot that made me think, maybe the table spot, which screamed, holy shit. This is something that I'm going to talk to future wrestling lovers about, something they have to see. Nothing about that.
Well, that's a weird dichotomy to hold things to.
No, it's not. I've ranked and watched thousands of matches. There is nothing in this match, and I can recall, you know, hundreds of them because they were so special. And usually, match of the year contenders, I can like point out what made them special. There's nothing in this specific match tonight that made me think, man, this is something that, you know, I want people to go out of their way to see and embrace or whatever. They're just, it was a fun match, man. Don't get me wrong. I actually don't even mind.
Think I'm overrating it.
I think you're overrating it. And there's not even a Canadian in the bunch. It's just driving me nuts.
No, I mean, I thought the table spot was good. I thought that spot where AJ was coming in with the flying forearm but took the Superman punch was great. I thought the dives to the outside were great. I loved the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, but you said it was a match of the year contender, so you have to give me more than that.
Okay, well, I just thought it really set a new tone for work rate in WWE matches. I felt like AJ really came into his own in terms of WWE, and it took Roman to a new level that probably he hasn't been at since probably the Brock match last year.
Well, yeah, this doesn't even fucking touch the Brock match from last year.
I don't think it's as good as that, but I think it's probably the closest he's been to that since then.
Not even close. I would like to see them have a straight match without all the shenanigans. But even then, like, man, really? Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura? Better than that?
You know what? I think if I watched them both in a week, maybe then I would probably put that back up above it, but it's right up there with it, I think.
Not even close.
This had more stakes.
No, not at all. Chris?
I thought it was a fantastic match. It was amazing. The work here was so strong. These guys just tearing the shit out of each other. Just fantastic, hard-hitting offense. Going all over the place. That table spot may be the best table spot in the history of WWE.
That's not true.
And that's... Oh, yes, it was. And that says a lot, because there's been a lot of table spots in WWE. I mean, just the way that Styles, the impact, and the way that Reigns went through that table. Words can't describe it. It was amazing. The stuff with the McMahons, yeah, it's predictable. I mean, I could automatically see it coming as soon as they did the count-out finish. I mean, it's obvious what the agenda was here is to push the Shane and Stephanie dichotomy of them trying to one-up each other. So as soon as that happened and Shane restarted the match, okay, now – Stephanie's going to come out making a no DQ match, and that way you'll have Guns and Gallows getting involved, and Usos, and of course that's what happened. It was predictable, but it was great to watch, and they just kept going into another gear as each thing was restarted. I mean, these guys went out there and was just tearing it fucking up. The near falls got me. And I'm one that, you know, I knew
running. Yeah, AJ Styles had no shot of winning. I had at no point, not after the run-ins, after the restarts, did I ever.
Near falls got me. It got me.
Oh, I thought AJ might win.
I was, and I'm not one that's like that. I mean, I am as, you know, cynical and all that as anybody is. But that one got me.
And your partner from the Premier podcast was sitting right here. I guarantee Dylan's to say there's no way those near falls got me.
Well, I don't give a fuck. That's what he said.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying.
This is
no,
me.
No, Chris, before you get all pissed off, what I'm explaining is that I'm alone on this podcast, but I know I'm not alone in general, you know?
Well, good for you. All right.
They got me.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. The Marvel movie trailer stuff there was amazing. The stuff where Reigns was in the air and Styles was in the air at the same time. Oh, picture perfect stuff. That should have been slow mode. And I don't know why they didn't replay
Which
that.
Which one was that?
Styles is, you know, his 450s. His elbows.
Are you talking about the forearm where he was doing the forearm and he took this Superman punch?
Yes.
Yeah. They did
slow mo that actually.
Hey, okay. Chris,
they didn't do it enough.
Chris, no. You are exactly right. When that happened, me and my friends went, you know, they use CGI to do that in Marvel movies, and that just happened live in front of us.
That's a great comparison. Yeah,
And then all the stuff with Guns and Gallows and the Usos, where yes, they got involved, but it didn't matter in the end. And they did a dive to the floor. Reigns did his dive, and AJ got out of the way, and we got on the railing, and then he come back and was just hitting him with all these, you know, all this stuff. And it sucked me in, and I'm never one of those that gets sucked in. It sucked me in.
And the count finish made it that AJ did come out the better man briefly as well, right? So,
and the spear finish, you know, was good. You know, Reigns is going to definitely come out on top, and they're going to wrestle again. So they now have a standard to try to.
Oh, they can beat this one match. Up. Both guys are good enough. They can destroy this match. Johnny Sorrow.
We'll see.
Yeah, this ruled. The start restart thing, you know, with the Shane and Stephanie one upping each other. Is it 1998, 1999 shit? Yeah, I don't care. I liked all that shit, so I'm fine with it. But the match itself, fuck, these guys were working their asses off. By the end, we had dueling chants with some men actually cheering for Roman Reigns. And that table spot, like you said, best ever. I don't know about that, but best I've seen in a long time. Holy shit, that phenomenal forearm, knocking him through the fucking table. Amazing. It was so much fun. This match, that's, as far as you say, sucking you in, Chris. This sucked in everyone. In my living room, including my roommates who really aren't wrestling fans, who sat down and were like, boom. And they started popping.
Now, for not being wrestling fans, they sure do watch a lot of shows with you, Johnny.
No, they will like pop in. Mark only usually likes to watch the women's matches because he thinks they're all hot. And my nephew likes John Cena. They come in and out. Mark sat his ass down and was popping for everything in this. Like, holy shit, look at that. And immediately understood the story of like, I just gave him the briefest explanation of the story and got it because they were explaining it through the work. I love this. This was fucking fantastic.
Okay.
Great and the match. Best thing they didn't do was they did not do the turn yet. We know the turn's coming, the Doc and Carl turn on AJ.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they're letting that simmer some more. So that's good.
Yeah, the turn should be Roman Reigns and the Usos already. Let them be the new bad guys.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's gonna be Balor, yeah. Doc, and Carl.
Well, see, with that, you mentioned that, Chris. You really, and it makes sense. But do you really think they're gonna debut Balor as a heel?
They should.
Whether or not they should, do you think they will?
Yes, I would.
Okay, because it makes sense. I get it. But that,
I would make Roman Reigns playing, the biggest heel in the WWE.
I think that's playing a little too much into storylines from another promotion.
Yeah, but they've pretty much co-opted it all anyway.
Right.
All the New Japan references that his own commentary, although Cole once said IGW.
Cole on Raw went, they used to belong to a popular club in Japan.
Yeah, and, they are all saying Bullet Club.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're playing it all into it. You know, Roman
Reigns. They already had, like, the Balor Club t-shirts printed out, right?
Yeah, and then Roman Reigns is talking about, I'm not part of a club, I'm part of a family. So,
right.
And the fans are going to boo the Usos and Roman Reigns anyway. They don't have to be turned.
Well, that's why you turn them. So it actually makes sense.
Yeah, they're really going with the John Cena type thing with Reigns.
And it's fucking stupid. Yeah. Just turn them already and then let them become a bigger baby face when the fans are ready to embrace them again. It's fucking logic. It's fucking this.
Well, the fans. The New Day. The fans won't want to embrace him again until, you know. Until
he's a heel that they can boo, right?
Until they feel that he's being, you know, not used correctly or whatever bullshit that is and get behind him. And boom, you're right. Yeah, you're right, Will.
It's tricky these days. It's tricky because.
Not that tricky.
I mean, it's kind of tricky with WWE because when's the last time they really had a serious main event heel that was not getting cheered?
Probably Triple H, right?
Triple H got
cheered. Oh, I'm saying Triple H, like when
which era Triple H? Which era?
2004, 2005, 2000.
Okay, that's a different era. You know, that's 12 years ago. You know, even back then, I mean, yeah, the internet was still strong back then, but it's different now, and they fully.
Edge, well, hold on, Edge, when he was rated R superstar.
Yeah, Edge got a lot of.
Yeah, but they got fans of his matches. And this is the era though where, you know, they come out and publicly said there are no babyface and heels.
Yeah, so, and it sucks.
I mean, they like acknowledge
babyfaces,
it.
I like heels. Anyway.
Well, they can say that, but there's obviously babyfaces and heels. Sami Zayn is a babyface. Kevin Owens is a heel. It's pretty obvious.
I really thought that this match, I know you don't necessarily agree, Will, but I just thought it really set a new kind of work rate for Roman Reigns' title defenses as well.
Well, it's a good start.
Yeah, it's a start. And that's how I feel about it. To me, this is a start. There's no standard there, Dave. I mean, to me, I've seen a dozen world title matches in the last 2 years better than this one. You know, to me, I'm not knocking that what these guys did. I just don't think it's a match of the year contender.
One of those starts. One of those starts is, and Pete had pointed this out to me earlier today, is that these great Roman Reigns performances we've seen generally is him working from underneath, and we're like, well, how's he going to be when he's the giant against the little guy? And we saw with that Daniel Bryan match from a year or so ago, but in this one. I was like, ooh, he did it. He turned it around and worked as a fucking giant. The opening parts of this match where he's just like picking up AJ and tossing him around, just boom, like, fuck you. You know, fuck you, indie superstar. I'm fucking Roman Reigns. And he worked giant a little bit until it all caught up. And I thought they did a great job.
And this is good practice for him for when Rollins comes back.
Yeah.
Because this is the template for what you're going to get when Rollins comes back as the mega baby.
Except Rollins isn't a third of the worker that AJ Styles is, so it'll be interesting.
Oh, no, he's not as good as Styles, that's for sure, but this is what the template of the style of matches, other than the, you know, all the stuff that happened with the McMahons, right, is going to be. It's going to be that night.
Anyway, all right. So,
you're so gloomy tonight.
I'm not really gloomy, it's just like, I'm just not as excited as you three are. You know, I'm just really not. I'm just not, like... Like, I'm excited that Cesaro's back. I'm happy AJ Styles is finally in the ring with somebody who can go and not like a chode like Jericho is currently, you know? But I'm still not excited with the direction of this company. I'm still not excited with the 50-50 booking, you know? I'm not personally or emotionally invested in any of their storylines, like zero. I mean, that's just it. I mean, in this... And that's kind of how I wanted in the show tonight, is kind of pose the question to you. Like, Dave, I'm guessing by your praise for this show that you think this is a new era in WWE, right? Is this a new era?
I think they're set up to do it if they want to. I think they could easily screw it up, but Yeah, I mean, if they keep away from stuff like that stupid Montreal finish, then yeah.
But they didn't. But they didn't. That's kind of the point.
They did.
They didn't. They always find a way to screw cool shit up.
Don't go on podcasts and criticize everything when you've been booked to be there.
No, I mean, they've been wanting, they love sticking it to Brett, whether he's just recovering from cancer or not. It doesn't matter what he says.
Chris, a new era?
Oh, well, no. I wouldn't go as far that as to say.
There's some sanity left.
But they are trying. If you watch the television regularly, you'll see that it's way different. Now, Raw the other night, there was, what, like four matches that had commercial breaks during the
match?
Yeah,
I watched it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. They had a lot of long matches for Raw.
And SmackDown has been killing it with great matches.
Yeah, SmackDown has been really good, too. So the television is a lot better as far as in-ring action. Booking, yes. I mean, you can always question the booking. But, you know, that's gotten to the point with me now where as long as the in-ring is great, the booking, you know, yeah, it sucks. But just give me great in-ring action. That's what I want. Just give it to me. Just give me the in-ring stuff, and we'll go from there. But because that's all that matters in the end is how they perform.
I guess the difference I have, Chris, is, and this is just me personally, and I don't expect anyone else to follow this philosophy, is before when Brian was on the roster, Punk was on the roster, Cesaro was breaking out, The Shield was breaking out, it wasn't so much that the booking was great, because they always found ways to fuck shit up. But I was emotionally invested in the characters and even the bad storylines. It was at least, okay, where is the person at on the roster? Like, I'm just not emotionally invested in any of these guys, except maybe a little bit Cesaro. I mean, I'm genuinely excited to see Cesaro on the screen. Like, I'm not invested emotionally in Dean Ambrose. I think the Roman Reigns title reign is a train wreck in terms of the way they portray him on TV. I know they're trying to kind of do, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm just the guy thing, to kind of neutralize it.
They're trying real hard.
Yeah, they're trying. There's the AJ Styles thing, which I'm kind of excited about, but man, that Jericho feud took a lot of steam out of my interest in him. Hopefully they can.
He gained it back, and I'm the one that hated that more than just about anybody. I mean, I was very vocal about that, but he has gained steam back, and tonight was huge for him to get that credibility.
You know, or look at the night after WrestleMania, right? The Raw there. It's like, man, everything I sat through for fucking 8 hours or 7 hours or however long that WrestleMania was, it didn't matter. It was just a big show.
But like we talked about on the podcast after Mania and stuff, you know, Mania is its own deal.
But I don't have to like it. Is what I'm saying.
No, of course not. I'm just saying it's its own deal now. It's a spectacle.
Yeah,
it's not even part of the. It's not even part of their, you know, canon anymore. It's its own thing. And the Shane McMahon deal is the perfect example of that. That stipulation meant nothing. You know, it had nothing to do with what is going on.
See,
on
for a couple of years though, the Raw after Mania was the show that didn't mean anything because they knew that the fans were going to hijack the show anyway. You know what I mean?
And then this year they went and co-opted it.
Yeah, and it was kind of lame.
I loved it.
Well, Johnny,
they're doing different things.
It totally means something. You glue the motherfucker.
I mean, they are doing different things, but we need more time to see how this is going to play out. Because all this is leading to the SummerSlam deal where it's going to be pretty much probably control between Shane and Triple H and Stephanie, and then we'll go from there.
And then another year of authority.
I don't know. But then you got the roster. What was set up is, look how good this stuff is right now as far as in-ring, and look who is going to be coming back. You know, when you have Cena coming back, and you have Rollins coming back, and eventually Orton coming back to freshen things up, to get those guys back in the mix.
I'm pretty excited for Cena and AJ.
Who's already there. You know, and whenever they do the Cena-Reigns match, oh my goodness, that's going to be interesting. So, I mean, they're in a position now where they're having good stuff as they have it, but it has the potential to be even better.
So what about, like, I mean, haven't the ratings, like, been in a free fall since?
Oh, ratings are terrible. Yeah.
You know.
It's terrible right now. And you know, the thing is, though, with ratings, is ratings, they're doing terrible ratings, but their business is great.
Yeah.
They are making big time. They're doing big time business at shows. They're selling out Raw every week.
I think that's a better indicator.
They're doing
right
great
now.
House show business.
And we're really,
and in the end,
yes.
And in the end, that's what matters the most. And I think that maybe now they are finally starting to realize that the TV ratings aren't as important as they used to.
They're not,
and they shouldn't be, because there's no competition. I mean, they're not competing against WCW. That's when the ratings matter the most. It's when they're competing with WCW and the way you watch.
See, I look at it as a trend, though. I don't look at it as, well, is it a 2.2 or 2.3? I look at it as, does it go from a 3.2 to a 3.1 to a 2.9 to a 2.7?
Well,
it's a trend.
Television
in general is different. No. Because it's the ratings are not indicative of the number. They're indicative of a percentage of the people who have the TV. Not the actual number, but like I don't even worry about the millions of people that are watching the show. I look at the percentage of households that have a TV that are watching the show. That's
yeah, but there's so many people that's not watching it conventionally.
Yeah, that's
anymore.
Exactly, Chris. Exactly.
But that's
so
for
different.
Everything.
Their YouTube
that's
hits
with
are
me
insane.
With my CW TV shows. What I'm saying is the people who aren't watching it conventionally, like Johnny doesn't watch it on Mondays. I guarantee you Johnny Sorrow, if he still had cable, would be watching it on Mondays and not watching the Hulu version.
Oh, no, yeah, I would be, but
exactly.
I don't pay for cable. I don't pay for cable.
We can't do what if.
So you're not even
part of
the equation there, Johnny. That's the point. Chris, I've wanted to do
podcast. But
and what does Chris tell me? I can't. Raw's on tonight. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? You are part of that equation. That's watching it.
Yeah, because that's just me. I have television to watch.
That has a television. That's what I'm saying, though, is that, you know, I'm not worried about the physical number. I'm worried about the percentage of the people that still have TVs. You can still kind of see the pattern of just declining interest.
Yeah, but you know who cares about the ratings is people like Meltzer and Wade Keller and the people that have that antiquated style of reporting. This is a different era of everything. And, you know, their YouTube is insane hits. I mean, they get over a million hits in 24 hours after Raw of all the segments just about to air. And that's before it hits Hulu and everything like that. People want to watch a condensed version. They don't want to sit and watch 3 hours. I don't blame them.
Yeah, the 3 hours is...
Here's the current ratings thing really only matters for the big three networks. Now, decisions are made with NBC, CBS, and ABC.
Yeah,
Johnny,
look at the cable ratings. Look at the cable ratings. Look at the cable ratings where Raw stands. Raw is always at the top. They're not always maybe number one, but they're at the top of all the cable ratings
number one
every
all the time.
Monday.
Now, having said
they're in the top 10 all the time now.
Hold on.
No, they're in the top five all the time.
What saved their ass when they launched the network? It was getting that upgrade in the TV contract. Are you going to tell me that since it doesn't matter if they're on TV or not, or the ratings don't matter, that when USA says, man, we can get better ratings with cheaper programming, and they yank Raw,
they can't look at their ratings for other their other program. Raw does at least triple more than their
and
other
everything
program.
They have on USA.
Their second highest, that Mr. Robot show, which they pimped to death, it's won all the awards.
Pimped to death
is a really good show. 0.7 rating.
What's Mr. Robot? I never heard of it.
It's a show that's critically acclaimed. You got to see Mr. Robot. I haven't watched it, but I know it's critically acclaimed, and people are loving it. And like Chris says, nowhere near the ratings of Raw.
Yeah, that's their second highest rated show, and Raw does at least triple or maybe quadruple it.
I guess I'm still looking at stuff like I know when Monk was out, Monk was like a huge hit. Fuck, I know. How's Chris Lee Knows Best? How's that doing?
It's about the same, about a 0.6.
I'm not gay. I have 8 children, and I'm not gay.
But the biggest competition they have is against like Love and Hip Hop Atlanta on VH1, Teen Mom 2, or whatever Teen Mom they're on now. that hurts them in the 10 o'clock.
And then whenever a sports event happens, they just get
murdered. In sports.
But that's but like on. NBA used to never phase them, and now it's just destroying them.
It's just a combination of everything. You can't, like I said, ratings should not be as important anymore to talk about because of ways people watch it, whether it's DVR, whether it's Hulu, whether it's YouTube.
It's part of an overall pattern and not the sole defining factor.
Yeah, and like I said, somebody asked Dave the question the other day on Twitter, Dave Meltzer said, is there, you know, because he was talking about in The Observer of how he's never seen a promotion, well, other than maybe New Japan in the 80s, that had such low TV ratings but was doing such great business. Like the WWE is doing right now as far as house show attendance, merchandise, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, they're doing great as far as that goes. So, and that's the bottom line in the end anyway, is are you doing that business? When you know shit's going to hit the fan is when they start, you know, having house shows and TV tapings that are being, you know, half houses.
Hold on. Their house show is not like business is not like great business.
Well, it's better compared to some what recent is really
maybe good. When Rollins was on top.
Well, house show business really is dependent on parts of the country because it's a weird thing here in Colorado. They can't Raw sold out in Denver and they had to cancel house show. The night before, they said it was over travel stuff, but I think it was from ticket sales, which was a weird thing to me. I thought maybe when they go to some areas where here's your choice, go to Raw or go to this house show and everyone buys tickets for Raw and it sells out. And maybe that, then the house show doesn't get the business that it should. At least that's what happened here. Yeah. So.
It's just weird. It's a weird thing right now to watch because we really haven't seen a business model like what they have going right now.
Yeah,
we're all learning on the run as far as how it goes, and they are too.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's a new world.
In the new world, let's go back to the old world, and this is Meltzer's take on the main event. It felt more like a TNA main event with all the overbook stuff at the end. Styles was excellent in his timing. When it was over, the stars were the McMahons, who were all together, and Vince said the match was great. So, there they go. And then we're
going. Yeah, they of course they ended it with the McMahons, which
that was odd.
That kind of you know, yeah, it wasn't the best thing to do. It overshadowed the performance of the guys in the match. Right. But,
well, it was no Undertaker going where to, Stephanie.
But it served the purpose in that they went ahead and already made the rematch.
Sure,
on the
sure.
Spot. So now you know it's coming.
You're actually building to something.
You think maybe exactly. Maybe it's almost a Lucha Underground influence. People think that's hot.
Oh,
it's
a TV show. Well, somebody said that, like, this was like someone said, maybe a pro wrestler only, that this was WCW level bad. And I did not catch that vibe at all.
Well, you know, the thing is about this is that they don't do this as much as they used to do this all the time. You know, they don't do this that much anymore. So it's kind of like, we'll bring this back on a rare occasion where we do shit like this. But as long as they're not doing it every show like they used to do it during the Attitude Era, right. when they did all this crazy ass shit, you know, it's fine. It's fine and dope.
Well, think about this. Everyone calling, all these people who, lots of fans, not us and circles we run in, but lots of people like when he mentioned the Attitude Era night and people popped. Yeah, they go, let's bring back everything about the Attitude Era, minus the sex.
Superstars.
Minus the sex and the racism.
The excitement.
And the sex and the racism and all that. We used to do this kind of shit.
The most overrated era in the history of wrestling.
You know, I've gone back and watched a lot of it, and I laugh my ass off and have a good time, so I liked it.
I'll say this about the Attitude Era over this era. The fans were emotionally invested in that era. In this era, they're not, you know, in terms of.
Oh, yeah, they were hot, but.
The thing is, and Meltzer has spoken about this, we've talked about this ad nauseum. When you have superstars, like true superstars, then you're going to have a different environment, you know, and we don't have that.
Right. But look at the crowds. I've been watching some of the old Attitude stuff, and you're looking at these, like, just maniac teenage guys and or guys in their early 20s and shit, and their girlfriends.
Show your tits
and all this shit. And now it's, you look at it, and there's sad Trent Reznor internet fan guy at ringside for every show, you know, applauding for what should be applauded for. And, you know, the reason those crowds are so crazy was because it was a bunch of fucking crazy dudes. You know, and now it's a bunch of people clapping. You know, oh, that was well done.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so guys, I'm pretty sure we all think this is a thumbs up show, right? Except for that, like, little interlude there.
Work wise, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, WWE is always going to get thumbs down for booking until they actually genuinely book right. So,
they might go out of business.
Yeah, I don't care about their business, honestly, dude. I mean, like, When it in terms of business, Johnny, like, I don't give a fuck if they're like selling a bunch of T-shirts or whatever. And, you know, what was another indicator that was really great right now? House shows, which is
You. It's just like, it's always like, boy, if they keep booking like this, they're going to be out of business soon.
It's not even that. It's just,
I think I've been reading that since 1986.
Like, I mean, dude, like, I'm a hardcore wrestling fan. I mean, if I miss Raw two or three times a month, I'm good. I don't care. You know, it's like, whereas before, man, I used to revolve like my schedule around wrestling shows. And now it's just like, I don't care. You know, I'll read about it. I mean, I'm so indifferent to this product. And, you know, hell, even in my old age, I can't even say that 2-3 years ago. You know, where it's like, oh, man, I got to see what's up with Daniel Bryan. You know, 5 years ago, I got to see what's up with CM Punk. Now it's just, I'm not genuinely excited for.
To that point, you made Daniel Bryan, CM Punk thing. But, you know, let's compare them to Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, same guys coming up from the indies. See, I'm as invested in those guys as you were invested in those guys.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. And only guy I really have an investment in is Styles, right? Because he's local. You know, I've watched him since he was a rookie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm invested in him because I want to see him succeed.
Right.
He has.
You know, for Cesaro. Like, I'm still invested in Cesaro, but at the same time, I already know what they're going to do with Cesaro. I already know what level they feel Cesaro is at. He's a gatekeeper to the main event, but he'll never be the main event, you know, and it sucks. Anyway, all right. I know, Johnny, you love everything about this company. And
no, I'm saying just like, you're so committed to that. This is how it's going to be, and that's it.
They don't change. They're playing it safe, and we saw Mania. We saw who the real stars are. We saw who they want to push. Chris reports on it every fucking show we do.
Well, you're still obsessing about Mania, and Chris had a great point about Mania being its own world.
And that sucks. It sucked. It sucked that, you know, we invested all that time and money and energy, and it didn't mean anything.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, but it had nothing to do with their booking.
Well, you had a good time, though.
You know what I mean? I have a good time, but I don't have to watch WrestleMania to have a good time. You know, and being there in the building, I had a good time.
I don't need to do drugs to have a good time.
Well, no, I had a good time in the building in spite of the booking, in spite of the wrestling. I mean, dude, we were one of the first crews out, man. Fucking, we left midway through that horrible main event, you know? Let's beat traffic. Fuck this show, you know?
Well, there wasn't any traffic.
What are you talking about?
You told me earlier there wasn't any traffic.
On the way there, dude, I'm saying traffic wasn't what held up the show, you dumbass.
It's a joke.
No, because you're fucking stupid. We were talking about getting into the building, not leaving the building.
I know, dummy. It's a joke.
You're calling me a dummy, but you're the one who doesn't make sense. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter.
That's the point.
The point is, exactly, the point is you're a dumbass. Chris, Dave, ooh. I want to thank y'all. Johnny. I'll thank you too. Whatever. But anyway, guys, I guess we'll do this again in 3 weeks for Extreme Rules, where we see a bunch of kendo sticks and chairs and tables being pulled out of underneath the ring.
Oh, real quick, can I plug something?
Sure, Chris, plug. Oh, I forgot.
All right. And Dave, I know Dave has something to plug, too. The latest episode Between the Sheets that will drop the same day as this is, on Monday, Pete Lederberg is our guest, and he tells a story, Johnny, that Pete Lederberg is.
Oh,
he was a former guy from the WFIA, the former head of that group, the Wrestling Fans International Association, the guy that was on the Tommy Rich, Eddie Gilbert breakup angle in Memphis.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He tells a story, Johnny, you got to listen to this, about Bob Backlund and involving a woman and her child. That it is amazing. It popped me because it was something that we just was randomly talking about Ricky Steamboat as being a family man, and he comes out with this Bob Backlund story. You got to hear it. Check out Between the Sheets.
I'm sold.
And also Between the Sheets, Will, this is a subject near and dear to your heart. Or this is the week of Idle and Rich, and Idle and Lawler in the cage, the hair match.
Awesome.
So we talk about that in depth and everything else that was going on in 1987. So, go check that out.
We definitely have to check that out. Musgrave, what are you plugging?
Dylan and I actually did a wrestling culture podcast last night with a reaction show for The Greatest Wrestler Ever. So, our schedules haven't been working, but we are.
Oh, so you didn't want to wait for me and Barriqua, huh?
I'd still do that.
I'm over you. You're done. But anyway, listen to Dave and Dylan. Dylan's 11th hour talking about this.
Yeah. I've also been doing more writing for PTBN as well. So,
how many hours did you and Dylan do on
Greatest? 2.5.
Me and Dylan did like 13.
Yeah, fucking nuts.
It was awesome, man.
All right. So, yeah, check Musgrave out with Dylan on Wrestling Culture. And you're writing for Place to Be. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot more writing for them lately. I'm doing a rundown of basically every match at Meltzer's rated 5 stars I'm reviewing. So.
Oh. Are they paying you?
No.
Oh, you don't get the
time. It's a labor of love, Johnny.
It is.
Johnny, anything to plug before we wrap this bed?
Yeah. I last night I started
Spit it out.
Last night I started writing the new Brainbuster. That means it'll be out in about 6 months.
Exactly. Okay. All right.
Then I started writing it. There's words on paper. That's how you got to get going.
All right, cool, guys. Thanks a lot for hanging out with me tonight, talking about the show. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll 3 weeks for Extreme Rules. Bye-bye.
till the juice runs down my-